I decided this year to say over something. I got a new Haggadah this year. This is Rav Yaakov Galinsky. This is a brand new Haggadah just came out. And he's around today still. He's from the last generation of Gedolim. And he's a Talmud of Nevardik Yeshiva in Europe. He was with the Stipler in the Yeshiva there. And he survived the Holocaust, and he was in Siberia in during the Holocaust. He had all kinds of stories. So he's very entertaining. I've brought him to Moshav a couple times to speak, and now he lives in Bnei Brak, and he's very entertaining, and he's totally interesting ideas.
Is it Talmud?
Nevardik Yeshiva. So I'm going through the Gada, so I'll share with you some of his insights, whatever. Okay, starts something from the Kiddush with Shechianu. So he says, Shechianu is, we say it's a bracha that when the mitzvah comes, lizman lizman. Right? It's a mitzvah that comes every now and again, so we say Shechianu. And however, he says that he wants to bring a raya that it's not necessarily the mitzvah that becomes new, but the person becomes new. Right, it's a new person, and therefore he has to make a Shechianu because it's not the same person that did this thing or said this thing the last time. And what's his proof? He says, a person hopefully is a chassan just like once in his life. He was a chassan, he gets married once, he's a chassan once in his life. He said, what would you say about a guy that every year he becomes a chassan? He said, the guy got a problem. Every year he gets married again. So you have to have marachmanas in such a person. So he says, okay, I got a kasha. He says, how come in many shuls, like here in the Moshav, right, the Rav is a chasen Torah every year? Why is he a chasen? He says, he gets divorced from the Torah in the meantime? So every year he has to be a chasen again, chasen Torah? Every year he's a new chasen. So what's the answer? So he says, you have to say, that the reason why he's a chasen every year, because he's not the same person anymore. Because the Torah he learned this year makes him into a new mensch. So Meili is a different person. It's a different person. It's a new chassan, therefore. New chassan Torah. Is a different person. Okay. General, we have he brings it here under the category of yachatz. We break the matzah, we hide it, the kids find it. So the thing we find that's a thread throughout the Leil Seder is challenge, etgar. Right, that we like to do. It's a challenging evening. We challenge the kids, you know, to find the Afikomen, or we challenge the kids to ask the questions, and they try to challenge the parents if they can answer the question. It's like it says why? Because that makes things enjoyable or sweet, if it were, when it's challenging. And he says, I remember, says when we're learning in yeshiva. In Europe, he says it was freezing cold, and we were starving, and the only thing they had was in the Beis Midrash. They had a urn of hot water on the oven in the Beis Midrash, and with this hot water, that was it, plain hot water. That was their luxury of when just to keep them a little bit warm, they can drink some hot water. So he said, I remember that one of my friends complained, and he says, you know, if there's at least a little sweetener in there, like something, you know, this plain water, you know, if some little sweetener. So he said, so I told the guy at the time, he says, so I got a great solution. He wanted the water to taste sweet. So he said, yeah. So he says, okay. So why don't you tell the Hanhala of the Yeshiva to forbid the drinking of the water in the Beis Midrash. He says, what? What's that going to do? So he says, well, it's a pasuk in Mishle. Maim genuvi imtaku. Right? Stolen waters are sweet. So tell him to usher the drink of the water. May they're going to steal the water. It'll then be sweet. He wants sweet water. So we're having sweet water. So he says, we see from here, what's the idea? Why stolen water is sweet? Because of the challenge. It's hard to, you have to try to do, you know, the challenge of stealing, so that makes it sweet. So too, therefore, there's a lot of challenges in the Leila Seders to make it sweet, make it enjoyable. Okay, on to Magid. It says that the Haggadah is unlike certain things during the Seder, we do behasiba, you lean, eat the matzah, when you drink the wine, etc. But dafka, when you say the Haggadah, you're not supposed to lean, you're supposed to say it sitting up, and be'eim oviyira, like with fear. And Mishnah Berurah brings it down to the name of the Shlach Kaddish and Siman Tafein Ein Gimel, and he would like to suggest what's the source of this fear. You know, why is it important to have an Leil Seder dafka fear, to be in awe? Maybe a better word, maybe awe, to be in awe.
What do you mean to be in awe?
To be in fear, to be like to not be like lightheaded or whatever, but to be like seriousness of the night.
But Leil Shimurim, so we don't need to have any fear of the guy that.
Right. No, we're talking about fear of God, not fear of people. Fear of God. So why? So he says, it brings the Gemara, which Rabbi Yisrael Salant has a taicho. So the Gemara says in Yom, Daf Pei Zayin Amud Aleph, Maisa with a butcher. There was a butcher that he was an Amar.
Pei Zayin Amud Aleph?
Pei Zayin Amud Aleph, yeah. That he was, he once dealt lightly with Rav, the Amora Rav. He wasn't careful in the covet of Rav. And Rav waited for this butcher to come and ask him mechila, but he didn't come. So Rav, on Erev Yom Kippur, said, look, the guy didn't come to ask me mechila, so I'm going to go to him. You know, maybe I'll speak to him, maybe, you know. So on the way, Rav bumped into Rav Huna. And Rav Huna says, where are you going? So he says, I'm going to the butcher, to, you know, because he did something bad to me this year, so I'm going to, you know, speak to him. Fine. So Rav makes his way, and then Rav Huna comments, he goes, oi gewalt. He says, oh boy, that's it. Rav's going to kill the butcher. Going to kill the butcher. What's the shot? So what happened? So Rav, sure enough, went to the butcher, and the butcher was had this huge, you know, butcher knife, and he was smashing this skull of an animal or whatever with this big knife or whatever. And Rav shows up, and the butcher looks up, and he sees Rav, and he says, Abba. That's what Rav's nickname. He says, Abba. He says, Leich. He says, I don't want to get out of here. I don't want anything to do with you. So what happened? Just then, he was again smashing the skull, and a piece of it broke off, hit him in the neck, and killed him. So Rav Huna was right. In the end, Rav. So Pasha Pshat is, you see, because he dealt lightly with Rav, he said, that he, you know, said, get out of here, whatever. It's because of that. He was punished, and he was killed. And that's the Gemara. So Rabbi Yisrael Salanter says, well, if it's such, we see such a serious punishment to someone who's Mevazeh a Talmud Chacham, so why wasn't he punished until now? I mean, Rav went there because he did something bad to Rav. So why until now wasn't he punished? Why only now? So he says, we see from here that, yeah, it's always a serious thing to, you know, to do to deal lightly with the Talmud Chacham or whatever. However, here, why was it even more severe? Because Rav came to him. If Rav made a point of coming to him, and still he acted that way, that's very severe. So, with that, he gives one more Hakdama, another Vor from the Chafetz Chaim. The Gemara says in Shabbos of Kufiyotes Amud Beis, says that when a person comes home from shul on Friday night, he's escorted by two malachim. And that's why we say, Shalom Aleichem, Malachei Ashares, Boachem L'Shalom, Barchuni L'Shalom, right? Fine. The only difficulty is the last verse, right? Why do we say, Tzeiskem L'Shalom, goodbye? What is he goodbye for? They're coming, you shouldn't let him stay a while, right? It was a goodbye. Why would we say Shalom right away? So the Chafetz Chaim answered, he says, because the Malachim, they know very well what Shabbos is all about and the holiness of the Shabbos and what it means, what Shabbos is, whatever, which unfortunately we're not holding there. And therefore, we would rather them not be around when we're having our Suda and eating and drinking or whatever, because they might see things that they're not going to make them too happy. So therefore, we say Seishchel Mashalom, so they shouldn't see the how we're acting during the Suda. We say, better you should leave before.
And Malcolm will be jealous of us because they can't eat?
No, they don't need to. So it says, so too, it says in the Zohar HaKadosh, it says, Shebesha'a Sha'anu Omrim Es Haggadah, that whilst we are saying the Haggadah, Kadosh Baruch Hu kore lechol pamalia shel mala ve'omer lehem, that Hashem calls to all the hosts in Shemayim, and He says to them, lechu v'shimu sipur shvachai shemesapim banayu smechim begulasi. Go down and go listen to the people, my people, the Jewish people, as they tell over my praises and they're happy and they're in the geula, etc. So we see the Leila Seder, the Palmalia Shamala are coming down here. So we see, like we saw in these two, from these two sources, that when they're coming to us, it's very severe. Like when Rav came to the butcher, right? When, if they're coming to us specially, so now we have to be extra good, extra on our toes. If we don't, if we do something wrong, it's actually much worse. And also, as we saw by the Malachim on Shabbos, that when they're around, we have to be extra good. So here they're around, and they came to us, so we have to be extra, extra on our toes. So Mela, that's the source of why the Haggadah has to be said with Yira and Ema.
The Malachim Hadas, that's yours, the Malachim?
The Palmal Yishma, yeah, the Malachim, and even the Shechina come down at Lelsa. Okay, it says Halachmania. Say Kol Dichvini Yisei VeYechol. Interesting idea. It says that the we're inviting the poor people to come to our house and eat. So he said Lechura, you know, says how much we do. Yeah, a person has, you know, his matzahs. He has his two kazesim of matzah. He needs for hamotzi. And he needs his kazais for Korach, and another two kazaisim for Afikoman. He says, if the poor guy comes, or poor people come, and gives away his matzah, so what is he going to have? You know, he needs his matzahs. How is he going to give it away? So he says, the answer is that when there's a needy person, then you have to put aside your chumras and just be happy with the kazais. And I was always extra two kazais for this, two kazais, and those are, okay, we do it, but they're chumers. You have to realize they're chumers. And chumers are very nice, but not only if it's not, it doesn't affect other people. Because there's a needy person here, so you can do away with your chumers and just keep with the minimum.
How do you see that?
I'm sorry?
How do you see that?
That we're inviting the ani, and even though, hey, I need my matzah, I need my my five kazaisim of matzah. That's a chumrah. I have to realize it's a chumrah. If there's a needy person here, then we're inviting, so yeah, invite him. Because put your chumras aside when it comes to when other people. And he says a nice word from Noach. It says, Vayachal Noach ish hadama vayitaker. Right? That Noach, after the flood, he came out and he planted a vineyard. And the Chazal looked down negatively at Noach. And they said that he did chulin yachalos lachshon chulin. And he went from being an ish tzadik tamim to a ish adama. You know, like very earthly like person. So he asked why. What was so terrible? Well, maybe he planted a kerem so he can have wine for Kiddush. Right? Let's make Kiddush. You need to have wine. Maybe plant again. What's so terrible? Why is that chulin terrible? What's so bad? Maybe you need wine for Kiddush. So he says, good. He says, the answer is that Varahi, we assume we're done lechaskus, that Noah planted the vineyard to have wine for Kiddush. 100%. But when the world is destroyed, don't think of chumras. Meaning, the world needs food now, right? We need food. So you can't live off wine. What do you live off of? Wheat. So he should have planted wheat and then have bread. This way people can have what to eat. Aye, Kiddush. You can make Kiddush on challahs. Aye, it's not the best thing to make Kiddush on, but you know, wine. Seder, that's a chumrah. So he should have planted wheat and then give food to people. And but what about my chumras? Forget about the chumras. Chumras are nice, but not if it affects other people. Instead, plant wheat and people have what to eat. So he says also, he once was spoke to the Chazon Ish, and he says, you know, people say, they say about the Chazon Ish, he's always machmir. And machmir and everything. You know, Chazon Ish here, you know. So the Chazon Ish told him, he said, listen, he says, I'm not machmir. I'm just careful on halacha. Says, not a machmir. Says, I'm just careful on halach. So Rav Galinsky asked him, well, what was that supposed to mean? What do you mean by that? So he explained, he says, because when the halacha says to be machmir, so then that's the halacha. And therefore I do, I'm machmir, but I'm machmir when the halacha says to be machmir. So that's called halacha. However, when the halacha says that you can be meikol, so then if you want to be machmir, okay, you have a right. However, again, but not if it affects somebody else. If somebody else is going to be affected negatively from it, then it's not worth the chumah. The chumah is only not going to be affected. You want to be machmir, go ahead. But as soon as somebody else is involved, then you shouldn't be. It should be machmir. However, in the Torah, when the halacha says to be machmir, okay, you need to be machmir. That's the halacha. He said a cute maisa that the Chazon Ish he added, and he said that there was once a wealthy man, and in his neighbor was very poor. So he Chazon Ish asked the man. He says, "Do you realize that there's your neighbor is poor?" And he says, "Yeah, I know." So he said, well, maybe, did you ever consider, maybe you want to, you know, support him, you know, give him some money, he can have for food or whatever. So he told the Chazon Ish, he said, I thought about it, but I decided not to. He says, why? He says, I'll tell you why, because on Purim, says there's a mitzvah, a matanus levyonim. So what's an evyon? Somebody who's very poor. He says, okay, everybody sticks his hand out on Purim, supposed to give him. Okay, but you're not really yotzi the mitzvah unless you give it to a really poor person, an evyon. Okay, so you know I want to be machmir and do the mitzvah 100%. So therefore, I make sure I don't support the guy so that he can remain an evyon. So therefore, I can do the mitzvah matanas evyon. I can do it to leheder. So he says that's called a chumrah that you don't. Okay. Yeah, he says that he brings there also Halachmana with Hashtahakla Shana Babar Israel, the connection between you know inviting the poor and the geula, that the giving staka etc. helping the poor, that brings the geula etc. So he brings another acute maisa that there were two misers, and they were schmoozing with each other. So one of them says to his friend, you know, we really have it bad in this world, and in the next world also we're going to have it bad. So his friend said, what do you mean? He says, well, first of all, in this world, you know, because I don't like spending money, so I don't, you know, I don't have a nice house, I don't have a nice this, no nice clothing, I'm wearing rags or whatever, because I don't spend my money, so I don't enjoy this world. And the next world, because I'm not doing mitzvah, I don't get stuck, I don't do this, so I'm going to pay for the next world also. So I don't have it this here, and I don't have it there. So his friend said, nah, I don't agree with, well, first of all, as far as your first taina, I don't agree with you, I enjoy this world. Why? Because it's a geschmack to have a nice savings. You save more and more, it's enjoyable to save all this money. So that, I have all of us. Now, I hear your taina though about Olam Haba, you know, not giving staka, what's going to be. But I have a solution. I'm going to make a neder that I'm not going to push it yad for anything. I'm not going to open up my hand for anything. Meaning, of course, not for staka, but not only that, for anything. In other words, somebody wants to ask me for something, whatever, and I'm not gonna open my hand for any reason, and therefore they can have no tainas in Shemayim, because when they ask me, you know, how come you didn't open your hand? I said, I don't hold my arm for anything. Finish. So the guy says to him, interesting. I have an idea. So let's see what happens. I don't trust that, but let's see what happens. And whoever goes, let's say you, whoever goes to the next world will come back to his friend and see what happened. Fine, says, okay, let's shake on it. He goes, no, I can't shake on it. I don't put my hand up for anything. No handshakes. Okay, fine. So then, sure enough, the one who made the netter died. And he came back to his friend in the dream. So his friend said, "Knew what?" And he looked at him and he goes, wow. He says, you look terrible. What happened up there? You know, I guess it didn't work, your plan. So he goes, well, no, not so, wasn't so bad. I said, what, but how come? He says, well, you know, why didn't you give stock, whatever? So I said, I don't put out my hand for anything. So they said, oh yeah? We remember a few years ago, you were drowning in the river, and some guy came, and he said, here, let me help you, grab my hand, you know, and he stood there, look at his hand, and you sent forth your hand, you grabbed his hand, and he saved you. So you see, you did put forth your hand, you did put forth your hand. So I told him in the basin, I said, ah, come on, that's different, that was to save my life. And to save my life, you know, I didn't make a nether, I'll das, you know, that, then I can't, you know, put my hand out to get to save my life. So they answered me, and they said, listen, it says, staka tatzil mimavis, the pasuk says in Mishlei. So it says, staka is also saving your life. So just like you put your hand forth to save your life, physically, you could have and should have put your hand forth by, to give staka as well. Staka tatzil mimavis. So he concluded, and he said to his friend, so my advice to you is, therefore, you should make the neder exactly like I did, not to put your hand forth for anything. It's just that don't go swimming in the river. So. Okay. It says, Hashda avde l'shana abba b'nei chori. So he explains what's the difference between what's an Eved and a Ben Chorin. What's the difference? What's the definition? How do we define an Eved as opposed to a Ben Chorin? So he said, an Eved is somebody who is not his own boss. He always like has to follow everybody, do what everybody else does. He's not his own entity. He's affected always by everybody else, and he's not in control of himself. Whereas somebody is saying Ben Chorin al Misho, Sikh Torah. And that's somebody who's in control. He doesn't get sucked in with the Yitzhahara, with fashion, with this, with that. Everybody, you know, he has to follow it. He's in control. So he says, Yaakov said that he remembers that, he says he's, you know, he likes to make jokes and make and mitzameach people, he says. And he was able to make everybody laugh. The only person he was not able to make laugh was the Mashkiach Rav Yecheskel Levinstein. He said, they used to tell him jokes, it's not whatever, he just like sat there, he didn't crack a smile, sat there very serious. So he said, you know, I thought it's because that's this whole shita, you know, of very, this COVID rush, of, you know, seriousness of the Shivis Hashem L'Negdi Tamid, Hashem is always in front of you, and this, and, you know, because he has this, that's why he never, you know. But then I saw it wasn't true, because there were times, like to Mesameach HaChasen, he used to be, you know, be smiling and happy or whatever, or if there was somebody that was, you know, in a bad straits, depressed or whatever, he used to, also to Mesameach them, he used to, see, I saw that he did, you know, was able to smile. So, what's pshat? So then he says, I understood that he came from Kelm Yeshiva. And their hoshita was that a person, again, has to be a mamasha, a ben chorin, meaning completely in control of oneself. So therefore, when I, you know, crack a joke, he didn't smile. Why? Because he was in control. He says, this guy's not going to make me laugh. If I don't want to laugh, I'm not going to laugh. He's not going to make me laugh. I'm in control. When I want to laugh, I want to laugh, right? When I want to make this chassan happy, I'll laugh. When I make this sad person, I will laugh because I want to laugh. I'm not laughing because he's making me. He's making me to do anything. I'm in control of myself. Because that's called a ben chorin. Okay, says a joke which I've seen before, and says that after we say Alachmania, we invite Kol Dichvi, and they say Ve'yichol, etc. Call the Anim. So the next thing on the agenda is we say Manishtana Halayla Zemikol Leilo. So the joke goes that we start off Kol Dichvi, and they say Ve'yichol, Kol Dichvi, and they say, we call the Balabais, calls out to anybody wants to come and eat, or whatever, calling the poor people. And then what happens? The Ben says, Abba, you never do this. You never invite people to your house, or Achim, whatever. So, Manishtana Halayla Zemi, Kol HaLeilot. You never invite people. You never invite poor people. Well, what's going on? Manishtana Halayla Zemi. So, what does the father answer? He says, Abba Dimayinu LaFaro B'Mitzrayim. He says, yeah, same thing in Mitzrayim. You know, we told Faro, yeah, we're only going for 3 days. And then we tricked them. And then in the end, we went out. So, same thing here. You know, I'm just saying I'm inviting them. I'm not going to really have them come home. Okay. says, you're saying the Manishtana, Shebechol Eilos Anu Ochlim Chameitz U'Matzah. So as we know, the Chameitz, Chazal tell us, is a remez to the Yetzer Hara. And Gemara Bracha says, Daf Yud Zayin. And Matzah is Mechla Dehemnusa, Chazal call it. It's the food of Emuna. It's the opposite of the Yetzer Hara. So they say a pshat that Chameitz and Matzah are the same letters, except for one. They both have a chet, and they have a mem and sadik. It said one has a ches and one has a hey. That's the only difference. Meaning that the only difference is that what's the difference between the ches and a hey, which is the difference? That the ches goes all the way up, the leg goes all the way to the top, to the roof, whereas the hey, there's a little space. So there's a tiny little space. That's the difference between the chametz ema, which is what? That's a remez to the chametz, which is asur b'mashu. It's that little bit. That's a little different. That mashu is different to the chametz ema. He says a deeper idea. It says that when Adam Arishon was sent out of Gan Eden, so there was a gzer against them. It said, kotz v'dardar tatzmiach lecha lach ha'adama. That thorns and thistles will sprout for you in the ground when you plant, whatever. So the Bnei Yisachar says an interesting idea. He says that there's two letters in the Aleph base which are very similar, and they are Dalet and Resh also, right? The only difference is that they're both the same like a Resh. So the Dalet has a little kutz, like a little thing sticking out the side that makes it into a Dalet. Beside that, it looks similar. And that's only little kutz is the difference. And therefore, when we say in the Torah, in the Torah scroll, the pasuk Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, so the dalet is written big, right? To emphasize and make sure you don't say Chas v'Shalom Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Acher, right? You say with the resh, there's another God. And similarly, the other way, it says Lo tishtachaveh le'el acher, you shouldn't bow to another God. There, the resh is also there. The resh is big to show that. You have to be careful there. Don't say Lo tishtachaveh lekel echad. That you shouldn't say, not to bow down to Hashem. So you should. So therefore, those two places, you shouldn't get mixed up. The Torah writes them big. A big dalet by Hashem Echad and a big resh by Le'el Acher. So a person has to make sure that he doesn't mix things up here. Now, so once, however, Adam Arishon left Gan Eden. Why leave? He had to leave Gan Eden because he ate from the Eitz Hadas. So at that point, after he ate from the Eitz Hadas, that's when everything got mixed up. The Eitz Tov, the Eitz Ra, the good and the bad, everything got was a big mix up. The Resh and the Dalet, and therefore, which we said is the difference between a Resh and a Dalet is what? That little kutz, that little foot on the top. So Mela, he said, that's the idea in the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, kutz v'dar-dar tatzmiach l'chalom. What's that? Kutz is that little kutz, and dar-dar, what's dar-dar? Dalet-resh. Those two letters, the Resh and the Dalet, he said, that's the problem. Now he left Gan Eden because now he left, everything's all mixed up. The Dalet and the Resh got all confused, and which is the kutz v'dar-dar, the little kutz and the Dalet, that got all unclear, and therefore dar-dar, you have Resh and Dalet, Resh and Dalet, was all, the Resh and the Dalet got all confused for. However, on the Leil HaSeder, it says also in the Zohar HaKadosh, says, Shebeleil HaSeder, Heir Hayom Halayla Kayom, that the night was lit up, is lit up like the daytime. And therefore, we say, Halayla Hazeh Kulo Matzah. Matzah, as we said, is the opposite of the Yetzer Hara. There, it's the only night that we can have clarity. Halayla is a kulo matzah. It's all matzah. It's, you don't have this bilbul of the tov and the ra. It's kulo matzah on Leil Seder. He says another taich that as we said, the chametz being the Yetzer Hara and the matzah being the lechem of emuna. So he says that. How does a person, free himself of this Yetzer Hara of the Chametz and turn it into Gmatza? So he said that we see it doesn't need a lot. It needs, we said, what's the difference? Just that foot, right? The by the Chet it goes all the way to the roof, and by the Matza with the Hay it doesn't. So there's a little space. So all you need is a little opening. Like Chazal tell us, Pischuli Pesach Echudo Shel Machad Vani Yiftach Lachem Kepischo Shel Ulam. All you have to do is open up a little bit, and Hashem says, and I open up a lot for you. Just got a little opening there, like where the, by the hay and the difference between the hay and the ches. Also, he says, nice, that what is this petah? He says that the ches in Gematria is 8. And hay, which is the other, the different letter, the hay is 5. So what's the difference between 8 and 5? 3. So as if to say that if you're involved, you have the Yetzer Hara, the Ches, and you want to bring it to Matzah, you know, turn it to the hay, you have to get rid of 3. A little bit, like we said, open up a little bit, and get rid of 3. What's the 3? Kina, Taiva, and Kavod. Get rid of the Kina, Taiva, and Kavod a little bit. That's the 3 main things, and then that opens up the little opening, and turns it into Matzah, and then Hashem will open up, Ezrat Hashem, like the Pisco Shalula.
What is it?
Taiva and Kavod. Okay, he says that they asked the question, the next part, Avadim Ayinu Lefarad Mitzrayim. So it starts off that we were Avadim, slaves. Avadim Ayinu Lefarad Mitzrayim, and then Hashem took us out. And then it says that if Hashem would not have taken us out, then Harianu, Vaninu, us, and our children, right, would be Mishubadim Hayinu Lefarad Mitzrayim. So they ask, why the change of the Lashon? It starts with Avadim, who were slaves. And they said, and if Hashem wouldn't have taken it out, should have said, and we, if he wouldn't take it out, we'd still be slaves. Avadim. Why is it to change it to Mishubadim, to Pharaoh? Why is it change the Lashon? So he says that because the problem is not so much the being an Eved. Eved means to, what does it mean, Eved? Oved, to work. There's nothing wrong with working. Okay, that's where most people are not, you know, self-sufficient. You have to work. You have to go out to work. There's nothing wrong with working. But what? It brings in the Kotzker Rebbe. The pasuk says, "Yigia kapecha kisocha l'shrechem l'aklaf." You work with your hands and eat. That's fine. Then you're happy in this world and the next. However, you have to make sure it's yigia kapaim. That means your hands. Kaf is your hand. Did you make sure you're only working with your hands and not with your head? In other words, you have to work, your hands have to do what your boss tells you to do, fine. But your head should be Shayach Lavodas Hashem. Okay. So that was the problem, that Vadim Ayim, that wouldn't have been so problem. Just work, okay, but it had nothing to do with Farad, just doing the job and that's it. The problem is that we became Mishubadim Lafaro. Meaning, it wasn't just our hands doing the work, we became, our minds also became like the Mitzrim, as it says that the Jews were on the, they sank to the 49th level of Tumah. We became like the Goyim. So the problem with the Eved wouldn't be so bad as the work, but we became a Shubadim, we became like them. We started acting like them. And that's, it wasn't just our hands, it was our minds, and that was bad. And he said that also answers the other famous question everybody asked, that says that Ilu Lo Hatziva Kodesh Baruch Hu would have not taken us out, then us, our children, we'd be all Meshubah the Pharaoh Mitzrayim. Well, that's not true. Where's their Pharaoh? Is Pharaoh today? Is Mitzrayim today the empire of Egypt? No, they're gone. So what do you mean today, to this day, we would still be slaves to Pharaoh? So they said that, and they answered, therefore, we didn't say we'd be Avadim to Pharaoh. We'd be Mishubadim, meaning we would still have that Shibu to have this desire to be like the Goyim. Just like they were, if Hashem took us out and, you know, made us their own nation, whatever, then we would still have this desire to be like others. Unfortunately, there are yinnit still to this day, but at least we have a chance to fight that desire of being like the goyim. That's Mishubadim. Says a cute mashal to this, the idea of how a person has to separate himself and not be, and unfortunately people don't do it. He says there's a mashal once, a guy was caught for a geneva. So there's he was trying to, he's broken his stomach, he's yard around, and the balabais caught him, and so he wanted to, you know, call the police. So the balabais took a rope, he tied it to the fence, and then he went to the gun, and he says, here, hold on to this rope. So he grabbed the rope, he says, okay, hold on, so I'm going to call the police on you. So he's standing there, he goes, oh no, the police, and that. Somebody saw it. He goes, "You idiot! Just let go of the rope." He told you to hold on to the rope. Just let go of the rope and run away. What are you standing there? So he says, so too. He says that's the way people are. And I would say, what do you ask? Oh, you know, you're tithing. Just let go. Just let go. Just be a Ben Hori. What are you being Mishumadim for? Just let go. Fine. It says that Maisa, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Eliezer ben Azariah, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Tarfon, they were Mesumim b'Bnei Brak. And they were speaking to Sios Mitzrayim the whole night until the Talmidim came and said, Rabbi Seinu, he is on Kriyat Shema Shel Shachar. So, it says, again, this is a joke, that they ask why Dafka is do we have to know that they were in Bnei Brak? What significance they were in Bnei Brak? And another question is that it says that they didn't they kept saying over Yitzchus Mitzrayim the whole night until a Talmidim came and said as Mamsa Kriya Shema Shachris. So L'chura, right, when was this? This is like the earliest time, they came, it's starting to get light, you have to say Kriya Shema. L'chura, why did they have to tell him that? Maybe the Raboseinu, they were learning, talking about Yitzchus Mitzrayim, and the mitzvah Kriyat Shema, you have 3 hours. And they were osik in the mitzvah, not like they were sleeping, and have to wake them up to think they were osik in the mitzvah, so let them be osik in the mitzvah for a little longer, and then if it's getting close to the end of Kriyat Shema, okay, but who says you have to stop them, so early, if they're in the middle of a thing? It's Giyazman Kriyat Shema, okay, Giyazman, not the end of the time, so they can say it later. What are they interrupting them, right, a little earlier? So why would they have the chutzpah to do that? So he says both questions answered together. Why Bnei Brak? How they kept the chutzpah to tell him to stop when they were, they had still time to say Kriyat Shema. So he says that because in Bnei Brak, that's the place where the Talmidim tell the their rebbes of what takes preference when it comes to mitzvahs, which shouldn't be that. Okay, sure.
No, that's not the real answer. Bnei Brak.
No. It says that the Talmidim came and had to tell them, it's Mankriya Shema Shacharis. So Mashmeh, had they not come, they would just continue saying more and more and more. It brings their Maisa that a professor from the Technion in Haifa, he wanted to speak to Rav Yankov. So there he says, we were schmoozing, and the professor says, I understand you people. You're always shuckling. You're sitting by the shtender, learning, shuckling 13 hours a day, and shuckling when you're davening, you're learning, and the whole day, back and forth, and back and forth, and back and forth. He says, if I were you, I'd have a problem with my back. Back problems with all the shuckling the whole day. So how come it doesn't bother? So he says, let me explain to you. He says, once I was traveling in a train, and I was sitting in the train. I saw opposite me, I was learning, whatever, I had a sefer with me, and opposite me was a bacher who was eating. But he didn't stop eating. Eating and eating and chewing and more and more and more and more. I was looking at that. I couldn't believe it. Non-stop eating the whole train ride. The guy's eating and eating and eating. I couldn't believe it. How come the guy doesn't get any lockjaw? The problem with his jaw. Chomping the whole time. I said, how is that possible? So what's the answer? It says that because when you enjoy something, it's not hard work. Right? When you enjoy something, you enjoy something, you can go on and on and on and on and on. If you enjoy it, you're gonna. So he says the same thing over here. He says that we enjoy the learning for us. It's a geschmack. Therefore, we can chuckle all day and nothing's going to happen. Right? Because just like this guy can eat nonstop because he enjoys it. So we enjoy our learning. That's why we can do it nonstop. So he brings a little answer to the question that we asked before on a little bit more of a serious note. How come the Talmidim told him to stop, and he adds to it, why did the Talmidim have to tell them to stop? You know, couldn't they see themselves that it was light out and they should say they should stop and say Kriyat Shema? Right? So why did the Talmidim stop them, and why didn't they stop themselves? So I think I saw this answer before also, but So Yerushalmi that says that Rabbi Eliezer and Yeshua, which were two of the Talmidim here in the story, that they were, it says when they were Osik in down here in this world in Torah, that there was a fire that went all around them until the Balabai said, this was Acher, right, the father of Lisha ben Avuya, that's, it says that's why he went off to there. Anyways, they saw that the fire, and he says, what are you doing? You're burning down my house. And everyone says, no, this is a special Eish from Shemayim, because when we're learning, the Torah is so sweet to us, like it was given at Sinai, whatever, and it's not a physical fire. So they answer, and that's why they didn't know that it was time for Kriyat Shema. It was light. Why? Because it was all light, bright from the fire that came down from Shemayim while they were saying speaking of Hashem's praises, etc. So they couldn't see it was light out, because when it's fire, it's all light.